Bhagavad-gita as it is, chapter 14, text number 1, I was told. Three modes of material nature. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Param Bhuya Pravakshami. Jananam Gyanam Uttamam. Yajkyatma Mokshaya Muniya Sarve. Param Siddhim Ito Gataha. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Param Transcendental. Bhuya. Again. Pravakshami. I shall speak. Jnanam, of all knowledge. Jnanam, knowledge. Uttamam, the supreme. Yat, which. Yatva, knowing. Munaya, the sages. Sarve, all. Param, transcendental. Siddhim, perfection. Itaha, from this world. Gataha, obtained. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again I shall declare to you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have obtained that supreme perfection. Please repeat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages has obtained the supreme perfection. Purport. From the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. Now, the Lord Himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it is clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now, in this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be the superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attain perfection and transfer it to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. The knowledge is far, far superior to all of the processes of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many obtain perfection. Thus it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. So this chapter is too confidential, so I'm not allowed to talk on it. We'll try and say something. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Param Bhuya Pravakshami Gyananam Gyanam Uttamam Yajgyatva Muniya Sarve Param Siddhimito Gataha. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, again I shall declare unto you the supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, on which all the sages have obtained the supreme perfection. Prabhupada in his purpose has said that knowledge of the difference between matter and spirit is called confidential knowledge. And knowledge of Paramatma is called more confidential knowledge. And the most confidential knowledge is explained in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anusuyave jnana vijnanam astikyam yajgatva moksha se shubha. That idam jnanam upashritya, actually that's a different one. Idam tu te guyatama. Guya means confidential, and uttama means the most confidential. Idam te tu guyatama. Pravaksham anushuyave. And Krishna will tell someone this knowledge if they're not envious. Unfortunately, practically everyone is envious. Now, we may not think we're envious because we think we're very nice. No one thinks they're envious. But actually, if we don't appreciate any living entity, it means we're envious of them. So there are different degrees of enviousness. If we're not happy when we meet a Vaishnava, it means we must be envious of them. Therefore, even though Krishna says this is the most confidential knowledge, idam tu te guyatmam pravaksham anusuyave jnana vijnanam sahitam yajgyatva moksha se shubha, which will free us from all the problems of material existence, still it is not so easy to understand this knowledge, the knowledge of pure devotional service, which is above. What is being explained here is even more confidential knowledge. So why is this more confidential than the knowledge Krishna explained in the 13th chapter? Where he said at the end of the 13th chapter, Kshetram Kshetragyanam Antaragyana Chakshusha Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha Te Ye Vidu Yanti Te Param. That one who can understand this knowledge, the knowledge of the field and the knower of the fields, because there are two, the Supreme Lord and the living entity, and who can understand the process of liberation from this material nature, can attain to the supreme destination. So that if we understand kshetragaya jnanam, the knowledge of this body and the two knowers, the soul and the super soul, and we understand the process of liberation from this body, we can obtain the supreme destination. But here Krishna is saying this is even more confidential knowledge. It's even better knowledge. It's even better than the best of knowledge. So how can anything be better than the best of knowledge? Well, it can't be, actually. Because this knowledge is the same knowledge, but it's knowledge which is more applicable to us in our conditioned life. It's something, for instance, if we're talking about the spiritual world and all the divine pastimes that are going on, they're certainly better than the pastimes that are going on in this material world amongst the conditioned souls. There can't be anything better than the divine pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But for us, hearing about the pastimes of Radha Krishna will not be very helpful, generally speaking. Although they're the most confidential. But for us, the confidential knowledge of how the material nature is working is much more useful for us than knowledge of how the divine energy is working. Because this is something we can practically apply within our lives, the three modes, because we're living in them. And at every moment, we have an opportunity to choose which mode of material nature we want to act in. So we understand how the material nature works, how it binds and how it gives liberation, then there's the possibility that once in a while, or more often than once in a while, we can choose the proper mode of nature to work in. In other words, Prabhupada took it more important than big management to learn to teach the devotees how to wash their hands before they take prasadam. He thought that was much more important than big arrangements for the management. And not only that, but he also recommended that after we take prasadam, we could also wash our hands. Because that's goodness. Therefore, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says things, he describes the three modes of material nature extensively. Knowledge in the three modes, understanding in the three modes, workers in the three modes, etc., 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 so that we can observe this body, we can observe our minds, we can observe our conceptions of life, we can even observe our ego and see which mode of material nature I'm being influenced by. And if we're in goodness, then there's much more likely to remember Krishna. Krishna appears in pure consciousness. He doesn't usually appear when we're fearful and anxiety and so many other things. Because that's how we serve this material body. Worshipping the body means, just like sometimes Mother Jasoda, she sees Krishna and he's about to fall into a pool of water, so she becomes very anxious and she goes and saves Krishna. Or better than that, when Krishna was caught in the coils of the Kaliya serpent, the Mother Jasoda and the cowherd boys, they were simply fixed completely upon Krishna, thinking about his friendship, his beautiful smile, his sweet words to them. They were completely absorbed in meditation on Krishna, and they saw Krishna was in danger. Now we ourselves, when we see this body in danger, we have the same kind of attitude. We immediately become absorbed in meditation in our body and do everything we can to save it, because we love our body. We love everything about it. We love the way it looks, the way it talks, even with the way it smells. Everyone else may be disgusted by the way we smell, but we think it's like sandalwood pulp. So that's the nature of material existence, is that we're in love with our body and we're absorbed in it. But if we can, even we love our body, we want the best for it, the best is the mode of goodness. If we want for the best for our body, then we should put it in goodness, because there's nothing better than goodness. Be good for goodness' sake. Say, you ever hear that? You better not shout, you better not cry. Santa Claus is coming to town. He knows if you were bad or good. What else is there? You've heard that before? He knows if you know. You don't celebrate Christmas here. Do you have Santa Claus? What's that? Saint Nicholas. Yeah, three Santa Claus.
Three different personalities. One from the mystic part, one from Christian part, and one is American.
You mean there's more than one Santa Claus? My God. They never told me that. I don't know if I can sleep tonight. My whole childhood has been spoiled. Anyhow, at the end of the song they say, be good for goodness' sake. So in the mode of goodness, then at least we can see things properly, we can understand things properly, and therefore there's no more problems for ourselves. Because we don't really have any problems, except for the fact that we're imagining we have problems. Because material nature is just a dream for the soul. He's imagining, he's going through all these different phases of material existence, which have nothing to do with him. Just like watching a bad television program. Or you may be caught up in a television program, but most of them get boring after some time. So we're watching this drama called our material life, and we're caught up in it, and we've forgotten about the real amazing drama that goes on in the spiritual world, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and their associates. So the mode of goodness can bring us to that understanding that actually we're not part of the drama that's going on in the material world. We're transcendental to it, and therefore we can turn on to channel Krishna and enjoy the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and their associates rather than get caught up in the material world. So this is the most confidential knowledge, because it's the most easiest key for our advancement towards the spiritual world. And to be in the mode of goodness, the most important quality is just regulation of eating, sleeping, working, recreation. Just regulate. And regulate our lives in such a way so that we can always remember Krishna and never forget him. So especially our regulation means come to the program, hear about Krishna, chant our rounds every day, take prasadam, etc., etc. And if we do that, then gradually, we'll, by association with Krishna, we come to the mode of goodness. And if we don't, if we try to act in the mode of goodness while we're cultivating Krishna consciousness, then it's much easier to come to the mode of goodness. Otherwise, if we chant Hare Krishna one moment, and then we eat too much the next moment, or we sleep too much, then it's just like trying to light a fire and pouring water on it at the same time. It's very hard. But if we keep on the wood dry, we keep in the mode of goodness, then when we try to light the fire, it lights very easily, and then we can actually experience how nice Krishna is. And if we find out how, if we experience how nice Radha and Krishna are, then we'll become Krishna conscious again. Because Krishna and Radha and their associates and the Panchatattva and their acharyas, they're all of the nature of pure goodness. And therefore they simply want everyone else to be happy also. Because that's what it means to be purely good. And they know Radha and Krishna, the Panchatattva and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Radha and Krishna combined, they're simply unlimited pleasure and loving pleasure. So there's no substitute for simply serving them and therefore becoming eligible to associate with them intimately and experience their loving exchanges. Therefore, washing our hands, getting up early, all these things simply help us so that we can much more intimately associate with Krishna and his devotees and get the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
And the purpose states that if one understands this chapter through the process,
philosophical speculation,
he will come to an understanding of devotional service.
Yes.
Is this referring to Jnana Yoga?
This
is first part of the question.
Well, there's mental speculation, but Jnana Yoga, philosophical speculation, is Prabhupada said one knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to try to understand Krishna, then he's said to be acting in Jnana Yoga. So yes, it's a type of Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga, as Prabhupada writes at the end of the fifth chapter, so, Jnana Yoga is really the assimilation of our philosophy. And then one comes to the conclusion that there's nothing else to do. Bhavanam janmanamande, yanamamam prapadyate, vasudeva sarvamiti, saramahatma sudurlabha. After passing through many births and deaths, one who has knowledge of me, surrenders into me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is, such a soul is very rare. So that assimilation of the knowledge, one comes to the conclusion that there's nothing but Krishna, and one should surrender to him. So that's what this is referring to. Or it's probably right here. The fifth chapter is a practical explanation of Krishna consciousness, generally known as Karma Yoga. The question, mental speculation, is how Karma Yoga can give liberation is answered herewith. To work in Krishna consciousness is to work with complete knowledge of the Lord as proprietor. Such work is non-different from transcendental knowledge. Direct Krishna consciousness is bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga is a path leading to bhakti yoga. Krishna consciousness means to work in full knowledge of one's relation with the Supreme Absolute, and the perfection of this consciousness is full knowledge of Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we understand everything. Itika. Yomam evam samudo janati purushottama sasaravit pajante mam sarabhavena bharata iti guyatma shastram idam yugva mayanaga etam bhuktvas pudipatsyat kritak kritasvarata. Anyone who understands me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any doubting, is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore engages himself in full devotional service. This is the most confidential part of all Vedic scriptures. Anyone who knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So we see devotional service, which leads to perfect Krishna consciousness, as the goal of all scriptures. Then we've understood everything.
Thank you. And the second part,
yeah.
If I may. In one sense, we sing every day in this Kartik month that Tad Yesha Gyeshu Bhaktir Jitatvam, that those who are absorbed in knowledge of the opulence of the Supreme Lord, they cannot understand Him. That means that those who stay on this level of knowledge and don't practice Bhakti Yoga?
Well, they can't understand Damodar as a little child. In the same way that, say, Mother Jasoda understands it. But those who are absorbed in knowledge of His Absolute, like in Vaikuntha, they certainly understand Krishna as Narayan. They just can't understand little baby Krishna crawling in Nanda Maharaj's. They're Narayan that we worship with awe and reverence. Becomes a little baby and picks up the wooden shoes of Nanda Maharaj and puts them on his head and brings it to him. That they can't understand. Because they understand some of the unlimited opulences of Lord Narayan.
This can be also one of the opulences.
You can go to Vaikuntha and argue with them. We have no idea. First of all, we have no idea what they're realizing in terms of his opulence. You know, we take it lightly because we're not anywhere near their level. So we take it quite lightly. If we could actually see that Krishna was in every atom, in everyone's heart, everywhere in this, just in this universe, we'd treat him a little bit differently. What to speak of all the universes coming, emanating from the pores of his body, as Mahavishnu, who's only a plenary portion, but portion of Krishna. So, it's not a light thing. But, what's that?
Sometimes we are discouraged to understand Krishna in that way because then we will become dry and we will not
put our heart. No, you won't become dry. The residents of Vrindavan, of Vaikuntha, are not dry at all. I mean, Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. They see him unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly strong. I mean, they're also in love with him. But they see how wonderful he is. Therefore, they wouldn't dare to try to, you know, chastise him. But the resident Vrindavan is just a different mood, that's all. It's a different type of bhakti. But we have neither one of them, so we shouldn't be. We have to respect all the residents, all the different pure devotees. Anything else? Vala Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.